Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Thanks, John.
He himself has never done anything wrong, nor will he. We come before one who is so powerful that nothing is impossible for him. He sets the stars in the skies and names them, every one of them, and we can't even count them. And yet he also knows when a sparrow falls. He can heal the sick and raise the dead. He can part the seas to redeem his people and then send the waters rushing back to drown their enemies. And yet he invites us to call him Father. He loves us and has shown his love by giving his only Son to die for our sins so that we might be declared righteous in Christ. It's only because of Jesus, God's only begotten Son, that we can call God our Father. Packer says, whichever way we look at that, we should be filled with wonder, whether we think, he's my Father, yet he's God in heaven. Or we think to ourselves, he's God in heaven. Yes, but he's my Father. This is a wonderful truth that we should never tire of. As we come to that place of worship and amazement and wonder and joy at the words, our Father in heaven, we get the central request of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. What does that mean? What does it mean for us? It's a strange word, isn't it, hallowed? We might use it talking about graveyards being hallowed ground. Well, that's not very exciting. I don't want to think of God as a graveyard. Quite the opposite. He is the resurrection and the life. And we find a form of the word in Halloween, which has also come to mean its complete opposite. It's a shortening of All Hallows Evening or All Hallows Eve, the night before All Saints Day, when the church traditionally celebrates godly men and women. But the word has come to mean the night when all the powers of hell are set loose. So if you're a little confused about what the word hallowed means, it's hardly surprising. The word hallowed means sanctified. That may well be a better translation here than the traditional hallowed, which is not a common word in the English language anymore. Its most common use in the New Testament is to make holy. But we can't make God holy. Holy is what he is. Separate, different, totally other, completely good in all he is and all he does. Totally pure in all his motives and intentions. To hallow the name of God means to revere him as holy, to worship him and have no other gods before him, to hold him in the highest place and not put anything or anyone else before him. To pray, hallowed be your name, is to pray that God would display the greatness of God. It is to pray with the psalmist in Psalm 115, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness." So what have we learnt from this first verse of the Lord's Prayer? How can we apply this to our own prayer lives, not just for the 40 days as we continue in prayer after that as well? It shows us that all true prayer flows from our relationship with our Father in heaven. And all our requests in prayer must flow from this first one, that God's name would be hallowed not only by all that he does, but by all that we do too. That's a question to ask ourselves. Is the choice I'm making now hallowing God's name? Does it bring glory to him, or does it show that I value something else above him? What first brings us to prayer is usually that we want God to bless our plans. We want something from him. Left to ourselves, that's where our praying would start and end, with ourselves. It would be no more about the glory of God than the mindlessness of Tibetan chanting and turning prayer wheels. What Jesus teaches us in this opening verse of the Lord's Prayer is very simple and very profound. I think it's too deep for my words to adequately express them. So I'm going to close by quoting from two others on the subject. Firstly, John Piper. "You can tell how your theology is changing by the way your prayers are changing. The first thing that Jesus tells us to ask God to do, mark this, the first thing, the head of the list, above all others, most central, most important, most supreme. We heard earlier about being of first importance. Most overarching, most all-encompassing. The first thing he tells us to ask God to do is that God would cause his name to be hallowed. The first and all-pervasive, all-influencing, all-concerning concern, all-controlling concern in prayer is to plead with God that God would make his name supremely valuable in the minds and hearts of his people." And Jim Packer, talking about this verse, firstly on Our Father in Heaven, says, "Jesus' pattern prayer, which is the crutch, the road, and the walking lesson for the spiritually lame like us, tells us to start with God." And then on "Hallowed Be Your Name," he says, "This is the biggest and most basic request of the whole prayer. Understand it and make it your own, and you have unlocked the secret of both prayer and life." I'll repeat that.